This is North Shore Today for Monday, November 30th. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Great to have you with us on this Monday. And Rick, everyone's recovering from not only holiday Thanksgiving weekend, but that unfortunate overtime loss Sunday night that the Patriots suffered at the hands of the Denver Broncos.
Bill, how many people do you think in this area just put their heads down and sighed and said, threw up their hands and said, that's it, it's all over, it's ended when Gronk went down? I was one of them. But you know, this morning it doesn't look so bad. Brady had, you know, had a good comeback to bring him into overtime. And what are you going to do? I mean, that's the NFL. And I got to get Kearns in here tonight. I was just wondering how much this, the lack of hitting in practice contributes to these weekend injuries.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a pretty fierce game, and I'm not sure I buy that one, but I do think though that, you know, I was watching the game last night, and I have to admit I was thinking, you know, can this team really sustain another injury? I mean, think of all the injuries they've had, and then a graphic of their upcoming games and the win loss records of those games, and I think you look at it, you go, wow, this team could go undefeated during the regular season if they could get by Denver. But they didn't get by Denver, so now they still have an opportunity to have a season with just one loss if you look at these teams coming up on their schedule. So, but on the other hand, all that matters is getting the playoff positioning and so on in the AFC East or the AFC in general, and take it from there. So
and they celebrated. He looked tremendous last night again. But I know a lot of people, some relatives of mine included, has signed up for a cruise in February that Gronkowski is sponsoring. He's supposed to be on. So they have more than just the one loss record at heart here. But needless to say, you know, he's such a popular figure. Everybody's hoping he's okay. He's so much fun to watch and such an outstanding athlete. But, you know, from all reports, a really good guy too.
Well, of course, in that injury, and we can't really speak to that injury at this point as we're doing this program, but it certainly looked very serious, you know, at the point of the injury last night. But then we did hear that he walked out on his own out of the stadium, and that it may not be as serious as once thought. So that would be great. And and obviously just to have him out there as a threat, I think is a possibility. So but I'm sure he's not going to be playing the next few weeks if he's not really ready to play. So I mean, Right. They're not going to take a chance with him, but let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. So there are some weapons, and it was a classic Brady comeback as well. After they gave up that touchdown, get the team down, put the team into field goal position, and Gostkowski, you know, boots it through, you know, no problem. And the little things this team does so well. You know, they struggled at times defending last night, but I mean the punting game, the punts were outstanding in that game last night by the Pats.
So the little things are right. And I was just, before Carter muffed the punt and fumbled it to give that touchdown, subsequent touchdown, I was thinking about all exactly that. How many times last night did they just go for field position and win the battle of field position? But I think the other thing, Bill, is just, it's been so much fun and it's such an uplifting event entertainment-wise to watch these guys week after week. And, you know, if they get a couple of guys back on offense, they're missing five of their starting 11 on offense. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, I noticed, Rick, a few weeks ago, I think it was last week's game, as a matter of fact, we started this program and did not mention the Patriots once after one of their big Monday night games or whatever it was. So, Lee, we're starting it off. Everyone's talking about the Patriots today, so we've got to do it as well. But what's interesting is there's a bunch of news stories out there today to really kind of discuss as we're kind of all about the local news here and the local features and so on. And there are reports around the area, whether they be South Shore, North Shore, whatever, that snow flurries are in the air. That's probably the first for us here begin the holiday season. We definitely are now rolling through the holiday season. I wanted to share one story with you that came out this weekend. And Steve Krause, I think, in the item on Saturday, had an editorial or a comment piece on Walter Hoey. Now, Walter Hoey is a former item photographer, and he passed away this past week at age 87. Did not know he was that old, but Walter Hoey was really a wonderful guy. And, of course, I got to see him at mostly sporting events, but he was all over the place for the item for many, many years. And he was, and again, I did not know he was 87 years old, but he had, I don't think he'd been with the item for a while, but he and his wife were very close to celebrating 67 years of marriage, and he did pass away on November 27th. I guess he's one day short of his anniversary for that, but just wanted to pay tribute to a guy, that somebody that, you know, was a big part of the item, a big part of the media, and you, we kind of connect with the writers and so on. The photographers kind of slip into events, take snaps, you know, take photos. They're at different places than we are, but again, Walter Hoey was really kind of a special guy, and he was at the item dinners a lot. But we would, you know, you'd see him at sporting events all over the place. But if you didn't know photographers and who they work for, you wouldn't. You're like, I don't know the names of all the photographers, but I did know Walter Hoey. And again, we're just a really nice guy, and a really nice tribute by Steve Krause, the news editor of the item.
Well, that reminds me of Charlie Woods, Bill. I know you remember him back in the 80s when he was covering Beverly football and other things as well. I think it was for the Beverly Times back then, do I recall right, in the Salem News. But Charlie was at every single game, always working fundraisers, contributing to the community, wearing the headset, listening to WESX broadcasts and looking up the booth and so on. And then he'd take a lot of stuff and give pictures away to people. It was amazing. But I think there's still a lot of that going on. I do see some of the Times photographers in the area. They got two or three of them, and you see them in all kinds of events and all kinds of hours, day and night. So sort of an occupation that sort of just kind of blends into the woodwork, I think.
Yeah, and Charlie was, I mean, and Walter Hoey, I might add, was a very kind of classy guy, and as I said, very, very well-spoken, and, you know, very, you know, just a nice guy to be around. Very knew his job and knew what he had to do for the item for all those many, many years. So that's one story out of the item today. I'm trying to think. There's a couple of other ones. They're starting their Lynn Santa, which is the Salvation Army fundraising drive. And another fixture in Lynn, David Salamini, is out there collecting with the barrels or the buckets at Wyoming Square. And there's also a story in there today about the a possible office building or a medical building going up in off one of the streets off the Lynnway near where the ferry, the Lynn Ferry, goes in and out of. They were a little concerned about whether it'd be a methadone clinic or something like that. So that's yet to be determined, but those are just a couple of stories in the item today.
Well, I talked to Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith last week, Bill, and he promised that Santa Claus was going to arrive in Gloucester Sunday by fire truck, and he did. Santa Claus showed up on the boulevard in the fire truck, and they lit the, I want to call it the Tarr family Christmas tree. Senator Bruce Tarr and his brothers Ringo and Brian, they go up to Shelburne, Nova Scotia. It's the sister city to Gloucester, and Shelburne always donates a Christmas tree. It's probably, I don't know, 30 feet high maybe, and they put it at Kent Circle, and they erect it like 2 weeks before the end of November. Usually the last Sunday of November is when this Gloucester Christmas parade takes place, but it's all volunteer work by the Tarr family and their friends on consecutive Sundays from about the middle of October on. And remember, this is the same family that puts all the flags along the boulevard, I don't know, maybe 100 of them, every year on Memorial Day, and then takes them down just after Labor Day. So, you know, people who do contribute to the community, not only this time of year, but all year round, should be saluted. But Santa Claus did show up on time. I'll have to check with Mayor Driscoll to see if he showed up in Salem.
I think he did, Rick. I think I saw a report where Santa did arrive in Salem. I'm pretty sure I saw that, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something really exciting yesterday. My wife and I generally, we go to church on Sunday, and then we take a ride around the back shore. It's just a habit. It's just something we do. And yesterday, we saw some cars stopped on the back shore near the Elks, just before the Elks Club. And a lot of people were out looking over the water. So we looked over on the water, and there was this beautiful, rather small, comparatively speaking, whale, just kind of playing in the water, maybe 50 to 100 yards offshore. And it was there, I want to say he, but it was there at least 20 minutes while we watched. And then I noticed that Sean Horgan of the Times got information from other people that the whale was there too. And it wasn't in distress. Usually when you see that kind of thing, you think, uh-oh, it's a carcass and it's going to be washed up to shore. But this, they think, was a juvenile humpback whale. To me, it looked like a minke whale. but you couldn't see the fluke and you couldn't really see the face. But you could see the body, and it was frolicking, and it was, you know, the stuff was coming out of the blowhole every now and then, the blowhole. And it looked like it was just maybe feeding or fishing, and then the thing went out to sea. But it was quite a sight. Yeah, I've never seen a whale come in that close to shore before. So it was a kind of a cool way to start your Sunday.
Absolutely. Wow. So
yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right. And I think you look at the other things that we're looking at here at the website. You mentioned North Shore Sports Night tonight, and then I'll just mention Josh Arnold's Trending Now, which is on Fridays. But today marks the first day of winter sports practices. I know I was looking at some of the tweets yesterday that come across, and I think it was Triton Ice Hockey saying that their first practice was this morning at 6 o'clock. Doesn't that sound right? Early morning ice hockey practice? Absolutely. You know, so winter sports season is underway. 6 a.m. ice hockey practice for Triton. Probably some other schools got some early practices as well today, and that's the way it is. But the other sports, the basketballs, and so girls and boys basketball will probably be filling up their field houses this afternoon into this evening with all the tryouts and so on for the winter sports teams, as today is the first practice.
Dedication. And the other thing that comes to my mind, Bill, is I saw a story, I think it was on the national news probably on Sunday, about how, Black Friday, how the sales were down something like, I don't know, 14% nationwide or something like that, or in the area, I don't remember. But today's supposed to be a big day, I guess, online, Cyber Monday, so when I'm done with you, I'm going to have to go online and see if I can get some Christmas presents. I usually get all my Christmas presents at the local 7-Eleven, scratch tickets.
That's nice. That's a nice touch, I think, that you really...
Personalized.
Personalized, right. You kind of... Because there are different games that probably different people on your list would like, right? I don't know all these... I don't know all these games, but there must be... somebody will correct us, but there must be like 25, 30 games, right? That people, the lottery players can go, tickets that they can go in and buy now. I mean, you go to those. I remember years ago, it used to be just like one game, you know, or two.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I think people have all these different choices. Email us if you want at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. But, I mean, if you go behind the counters of your 7-Eleven or wherever you go, there's like a wall of tickets, you know. Probably 30 is a low estimate for all I know, because you could buy them all over the place.
Looks like wallpaper, yeah. You want to talk pet peeves? I'll talk pet peeves, all right? I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because I'm in line trying to get a cup of coffee with my newspaper, trying to get to a certain place at a certain time, and you'll see somebody inevitably and invariably in front of you taking out the pennies or the change or the quarters, the dimes, the nickels, counting them out, and then spending an hour going through that list, pointing at the wall of scratch tickets to the clerk and saying, nope, I don't want that one. Nope, I don't want that one. Yep, I want that one. Just a pet peeve. I thought I'd have to get that out there since you brought it up.
No, that would be me too. And I'll be honest with you. I try to be a nice guy. So, and I don't try to cut a line. You know, I will not cut a line. I mean, that, you know, who would? But I will say this, that it's very tempting when you're at a 7-Eleven, when two people are walking up, or you see a guy near that counter, and you see a scratch ticket in his hand, or some kind of a ticket in his hand. Now, you know that guy is not going to just plunk that down and be in and out like a transaction. Like,
right.
I've got my newspaper, whatever. And that's all I'm getting, and I'm in and I'm out of that transaction. It's not even like the 15 item line at the grocery store. It's that fast. I will. It's very tempting to try to, you know, angle your way in and get the cashier's attention. Let him know that you know, and he knows too. Or she knows that you've got the one newspaper, you're in, you're out, you don't even need change probably, and you want to beat this guy or this woman that has that then is going to be up there for the next 15 minutes, you know, going, I want that, I want that, I want that, and then getting $20 back, handing in another ticket, boom, 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 now, and they reinvest the 20. You're right, it's a mess.
Well, then they'll go out in the car and they'll scratch it and come back.
Then they come back,
Yeah, but you know the thing is, Bill, I remember when you had local stores that, before barcodes, you could, for example, if I had someone in front of me like that and I had exact change, knew the clerk. I could just hold up my paper, hold up my coffee, put the money on the counter while this guy is still in front of me and just leave it and go. You can't do that anymore with these because of these barcode things.
Right, you're right. I mean, I ran into that. I didn't really realize that because I really hadn't been buying a lot of newspapers at the store like that. But then I just ran into that too where, you know, where you want to do that, but you don't know if one guy does the barcode thing or not. They don't all do the barcode thing, you know, believe it or not. So I was at somewhere, and they didn't do the barcode. I just gave the guy the dollar, whatever it was, and boom, I'm in and out. And I'm thinking, oh, great, he didn't do the barcode thing. Just for that reason, you're right. And they would love to do it, too. They want to move the line along back in those days. And if you just had your newspaper, you had your exact change, and so on, they would love that. Well, there's our gripe. That's a nice gripe to have, isn't it? I got to think that isn't that, I mean, that's got to be a gripe that a lot of folks have, you know what I mean? That, and I don't begrudge people for playing the lottery. I mean, that's fine. It's, but on the other hand, it, yeah, some places actually do have the two counters, you know, they have a lottery counter and they have the other counter too, which I think that's the way I give them credit if they have something like that.
The only time I do scratch tickets is when I get something for my birthday or for Christmas, and if I, you know, win $5 or whatever. But it's funny, I go in, and if there's a lot of people in the store, I won't go up to the ticket and try to cash it in, to the ticket counter and cash it in. But, you know, I look for the opening when there's nobody there, and sometimes, because I go to a local gas station too, and sometimes you can just see, okay, there's nobody in the parking lot, so now's a good time to go in. And that's, I guess I'm really self-conscious about that. But a couple of other quick articles or just headlines, Bill. Unemployment is down on Cape Ann, which is really good. I guess it's under 5%, which is most excellent. And there are two Harbor Master building stories in the area going on. There's the continued refit or the cleaning up of the Gloucester Harbor Master's area that Jim Colquitt, Gloucester Harbor Master, talked about in an interview that we have posted from a week or so ago. And then I guess up in Newburyport, they are planning a brand new Harbor Master building or facility, and they're scaling it back. They had an original budget estimate of about $1.3 million, and I guess now that's a little bit too high, so they're trying to find a way to scale it back and bring the cost down. So just a couple of quick articles there of semi-import, I guess.
All right, and again, tonight it's North Shore Sports Night at 7 o'clock with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns right here on MSONewsSports.com on Channel A. And, of course, we probably should just do one final thing, Rick, on our Thanksgiving football coverage just to wrap it up. I'll tell you, you know, we've kind of beaten up with the playoffs, the Thanksgiving games and so on, but I know you guys had a great game. It sounded like a great game up in Gloucester on Thanksgiving with Danvers. And we had a great game at Lynn's at Manning Field on Thanksgiving Day between English and Classical with, you know, big plays, high energy, great crowd, great weather, and just an outstanding event. So and it really put a great cap to the football season and the events at Manning Field for this past year because they did, it was just a great, you know, Wednesday night, Thanksgiving morning, two events that we covered on the website that we did the St. Mary's Fenwick game on Wednesday night. And then, of course, as we mentioned, the Classical English game. But we had a fantastic game. And, you know, it's one of those games where, you know, you feel great to win, tough one to lose. But that's the way the Thanksgiving football games, that's what a great Thanksgiving football game is.
You had that feeling in Gloucester, absolutely. Danvers and Gloucester, it was a great battle. The only thing that surprised me was with a crowd that size, it was very quiet. They were sitting on their hands. And you don't usually see that on Thanksgiving morning. However, toward the end of the game when it got down to nail-biting time, everybody got into it. But it was really truly one of those games where Paul Ingram and I were talking about, man, this is, you, as a fan, you don't want to see anybody lose it. I mean, those kids put everything they had into it. And Danvers was gassed with the schedule that they had and the punishment they took in the playoffs. And they just gave it everything. Just great game, great game. Good crowd, great way to start Thanksgiving.
You know, and I found this. Here's another twist to that because Coach Woods mentioned that about St. Mary's too, because St. Mary's played the game before too. St. Mary's played on Saturday before the Thanksgiving Day in the playoff game. Danvers played the Saturday or the Friday in the playoff game before Thanksgiving. I was driving home and I was listening to the South Shore radio station, and they did a game where the team had a playoff game. I think the weekend before that team lost. So we see a little trend here with the teams that played those playoff games kind of running out of gas. on Thanksgiving Day. They do play, I mean, they did play the extra minute in the quarter and so on, but not to, you know, who knows whether that's a factor or not. But you got to think at this point of the year, these kids, especially that Danvers team that had played some pretty hard-nosed football leading up to that, that has to have some kind of an impact while the other team is waiting 10 days to play this game and get the traditional rest to lead up to the Thanksgiving Day game. And you know something, Rick, still the old system still looks so good right now to me because, you know, the Saturday ends, you go 10 days before Thanksgiving, you got this time to mend, to plan, to celebrate the rivalry game coming up. And, of course, for teams like Danvers, St. Mary's, and this other team I was talking about, then you stick that extra game in on the weekend, and you clearly just don't, the kids don't have the recovery time, the physical recovery time that the other team had. And again, I'm not saying that impacted the results of the Thanksgiving Day game because, you know, the kids could probably rebound and so on. But the thing was, there were these evenly matched teams. The St. Mary's Fenwick game, I think, was an evenly matched game going in. And the same with Gloucester Danvers, as it turned out. Yeah.
You know, that's all valid. And as I said, you know, to see those kids give so much and having met the captains, you know, on Tuesday, it was just, it's a shame that someone had to walk away. I'm going to put this in quotes, a loser, but there were no losers. That was a tremendous, tremendous game. And they, you know, but as you say, Bill, you know, right back into it today with the winter sports. And a lot of those kids are into it. One thing, and this is my final thought, Paul Ingram did mention that, you know, you had the three games in 10 days under the old system. He said, but when you've got Gillette at the end of the you know, at the end of the rainbow, you sort of go on adrenaline, so you recover a little quicker. Whereas this way, if you have lost, you know, it's not, you don't have that. It's if you've lost your playoff game, but whatever it might be, and however it's going to work, this was fun this weekend, and I know your game was great, and a lot of other games were cool too. We're going to try to get a hold of some of the coaches tonight and see what they think, and maybe, you know, look back on the season. But it was fun. Tremendous football season for these kids.
But you know what it is too, though, Rick, and just my last thought on this, and maybe we're spending too much time on it, but yet, if in fact you play Thanksgiving the following Tuesday, then Saturday at Gillette, your opponents are doing the exact same thing. You know, it's not a mismatch. And so that's fair. You know what I mean? It's like in the NFL, they're not going to schedule the Patriots to play on Monday night and then put them on Thursday night the following week. They're not going to do that. They're not going to give them 2 days to prepare. I don't think that's ever happened. I think they do the schedule so that doesn't happen. So there's a little bit of fairness, but yet some team could have the layoff before that's going to happen. But that's just part of the league, part of the format. So, all right, Rick, got your shovels ready to go for the, here we go, getting ready. By the way, there's no snow in the forecast. Don't pant. No, there's no real snow.
Not yet, anyway. Not here. Yep, I have to get my snowblower tuned up. The shovels are ready. I've got plenty of ice. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Well, I got my daughter, who has a car. I got her a snow shovel. She wanted one, so I ended up giving it to her and gave it to her early this past weekend. So she went back home yesterday and was able to squeeze the with her sister and all the other people in the car, able to get that snow shovel in. So, this is not the time usually where, you know, I'm usually a last minute kind of guy, but I was in the Home Depot like a week ago looking for this stuff and it's all there now. There's got plenty of, you know, they got plenty of this stuff. And, you know, you go down the Linway, there's a business on the Linway that has a big sign, snow melt, you know, so this is, it's all there now, folks. You know, it's all in the stores. Think about it. So there you go.
Yep. And I checked online. Mount Sunapee is open with top-to-bottom skiing, open with top-to-bottom skiing. I'm getting pumped. I'm getting ready.
And the Blue Hills Reservation today, I watched on the news, they have deer season for the first time in years at Blue Hills Reservation, you know. So, whatever. So the deer hunters are out as well. Be careful, I guess, right? So we got whales in Gloucester, deer watch out at the Blue Hills Reservation down there and on the South Shore and whatever. All right, that'll do it for us. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com. This is North Shore Today.